Kids, just keep your seat. We'll be calling you up in just a minute. Stacy, if you would come on down, please. Stacy's going to share with us what we're about to pray about.
Good morning. My name is Stacy Cerrone, for those of you that don't know me. And I've had the privilege of leading a Moms in Prayer group for the last 9 years, ever since my eighth grader started kindergarten 9 years ago. And Moms in Prayer gathers women around the world to pray for their schools, their teachers, the students, just everything that our kids face, that our schools face, homeschooling, college, career. There are prison moms that meet and pray for their kids on the outside. So imagine the power of that. I have a group actually that meets every Thursday morning from 8 to 9 at the Foundry Coffee Shop. But today, what Moms in Prayer is doing, we do this every September. It's our sixth Bless Our Schools Sunday. And churches throughout the world today are uniting in prayer for our teachers, our staff, the administration, students, you name it. So that's what we're about to do.
Thank you, Stace. Thank you. Now, kiddos, if you would come on down, I need your help. Y'all stand right here. You're not going to be sitting today. Come on. Y'all are going to help me distribute these to everybody, okay? So take a few and let's start handing them out, okay? All right. Now, when you're done with those, everybody come up here, kiddos. Y'all come up here and sit down on the steps, okay? All right. There we go. Thank you. All right. Come sit on the steps, and we're going to pray. What Stacy has provided for us today is a prayer guide for you where you can fill in the blank and pray through these scriptures. And I encourage you to do this personally. Let this be a prayer guide for you. And, fill it out. You can see it's self-explanatory. And use it this week and make this week a time of prayer. But we as a body are going to pray. And the first thing we're going to do is pray through these three areas. Now, as we enter a time of prayer, and kids, I'm going to ask y'all to be very quiet so we can, and let's keep our minds on prayer today, because at the end we're going to do something with you. If you'd like to come as we pray these prayers and come to the altar, the altar is open right now as we're going to pray for students, staff, and for safety, specifically these right now. So we open the altar, and anytime during this prayer, if you want to come, come on, the altar's open right now. Let's bow our heads. First, let us pray for our students. We have kids that are connected in our church to all kinds of educational systems. Homeschool, public school, private school, college, all sorts of students. So, would you pray this prayer with me that these Christian students will stand firm in their faith, showing God's love on their campus so many will come to Christ this year? Lord, we intercede now for all of our students. We're asking you, Lord, for their protection. We're asking you, Lord, that you'll lead them by your Spirit. Lord, they need to learn, but Lord, they need a filter also. They need your guidance. They need protection, Lord. So we're asking you, Lord, today, lead us by your Spirit as we pray. Now, Lord, we pray for the staffs at these schools. And Lord, as we say staff, as we extend that to homeschool, the parents and those who are part of that. Lord, we pray for unity and high moral standards among teachers, administration, school board, support staff, that all decisions will be based upon biblical values, that God will strengthen, refresh, and bless the Christians serving in our schools. Lord, we ask you to come. Let there be a movement. Let there, Lord, I pray you will break down barriers, walls, Lord, that we can see the Lord and see what He wants to do and the power that He wants to bring. Lord, I pray that we'll become involved and we'll not be just the detractors who have accusations, but Lord, that we'll be part of the solution in our lives. Now, Lord, we pray for safety. We pray your hand of protection will be upon our students, school, staff, that all plans that the evil one has will be thwarted. Every plot, every plan that he has today, that it will come to naught. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Watch over them right now. Now, kids, if you would come stand right here. I'd like for all of our young people, if you are a student in school, high school, college, I want you to come on up here right now. Come on. Come in close. Now, as they've come in, if you'd like to gather around and lay hands on them right now, come on. All right? Get in close. Now, right here, Lord, we have our hands upon that which is most precious to us in all the earth. These precious gifts that you have given to us. Lord, forgive us when we do not thank you. Lord, on the days when they try our patience. Lord, today we're asking you for each one of them, Lord, that you'll guard their mind and their heart. We pray, Lord, that you'll speak to them in school. Lord, that you'll quicken and sharpen their minds with all that they need to know for this time, for this age, Lord, in this modern world, all they need to know, Lord. Just sharpen them. And Lord, each one of them is a gift, fearfully and wonderfully made. God, help them today. Lord, may they hear you clearly. Lord, protect them. Lord, thank you for them. And Lord, we look forward to all that you're going to do through them and the influence that they're going to be. Lord, I see the message of Jesus going forth through all of these young people to kids who don't know Jesus, for young students that are in primary school and college students, Lord, that are struggling, that need the Lord. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, you'll lead them and show your light through them. Thank you. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Okay, everyone go to their seats. Kiddos, y'all can go to Kids Zone, okay? If you didn't get a chance to listen to last week's message, you weren't here, I encourage you to get online and listen to that. We did a very quick rapid-fire overview for you of all the things that are going on right now. And I'm continuing that theme, but in a very personal way today. It's time to pay attention to our relationship with Jesus. And last week, before we get to that, Why would you want to pay attention to your relationship with Jesus? Is it important? Is that an important relationship to you? Well, I want you to know the way you spend your time, your money, and your influence shows what's important to you. And it shows it to the world, as people know. We read that passage last week, in Ephesians that talks about that the days are evil, that there are plenty of evil things that are out there. And who better than Jesus to counteract the balance of power when it comes to evil in this world? And we've got to be prepared. Listen to me. If you don't sense that our world is heading somewhere, if you don't get that, come on. Get your head out of the sand and start listening and start watching the things around you. Not doomsday, but Jesus day. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming again. I believe, my personal belief, you may not share this belief, but I believe He has uniquely called us, the Sycamore Church, as a body. I can't speak for the other local bodies in this city. God has not given me that place or authority, but He has placed me here. He has put me in this place. He has put Rick in this place. He has put Brother Dane in this place as pastors of this congregation. And we believe that God is uniquely preparing us for the days that are to come, whatever those days are going to be. And I shared with you last week at the end of my message, one of the things that my heart's desire is for a great revival to take place, for a great renewal to come. And it would start with us. It's time. Why do we need to pay attention? Well, because it's time. It's time to get off the bench and get in the game. It's time to be a part of what God is doing and not just sitting back and watching. American Christianity is all about sitting on the bench and watching. I'm telling you, as the church is growing in other parts of the world, it's all about being in the game, being part of what God is saying. We have the power because we have the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of Jesus in us. We have the power to affect change where we live, in our family, where we work, to be part of the solution. And let me tell you, the eternity of people around us, they're banking on it. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. If you're looking at your phone right now, I'm going to ask you to put it down and to listen for just a few minutes. Okay? Last week we talked about the time that we're in. We're in the, you know, it's the fall feast time. Say, oh, Dusty, you talk about that stuff. Yes, I do. Because the Lord has already fulfilled the first four. And he's about to fulfill the next three of these feasts in this month. Not going to go through and re-preach last week's message. But we're right in the middle right now. We're in the 10 days of awe. We're from the time of the Feast of Trumpets, which was calling us to take a look at our lives, to take inventory, to look and see, let the Holy Spirit look and see in our lives what needs we have. John, go on to the next slide there. Until we get to this week, on Tuesday afternoon at dusk, when night begins, that will begin the Day of Atonement. Now on this day, once a year, the high priest, wait, before Jesus came, it was a picture as we look at all those feasts, it was a picture of things to come. It was a picture of what Jesus would eventually do for us. You see, the two the two goats there. One, he would go into the Holy of Holies once a year. He would make sacrifice, one with the blood, and one as he laid his hands on the other, and he would send that one out into the wilderness. Here are two beautiful pictures of what God was planning to do, that he would make a blood sacrifice for our sin. And that sin would be carried away from us as far as the east is from the west. There's a picture. Every time they did that, they were looking forward to the next thing. What Jesus would do on the cross as he died in our place on the cross. Now, I want to read a passage of Scripture to you. It'll be on two screens. It comes from 1 John. This is from the New Living. Follow with me as we read this. 1 John, beginning in verse 5. This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you, that God is light. There's no darkness in Him at all. So we're lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we've not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that His Word has no place in our hearts. Then on the second chapter, continues the idea. My dear children, I'm writing this to you so you will not sin. If anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who's truly righteous. He Himself is a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the entire world. And we can be sure that we know Him if we obey His commandments. Someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands. That person's a liar. He's not living in the truth. But those who obey God's Word truly show how completely they love Him. That's how we know we're living in Him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. God has gone to great pains to have a relationship with us. Look what He has done. All the things man has done that we've done that's pushed us away from God, and yet He has been chasing us with His love. From the beginning, we look, even in the book of Genesis, we remind you of this, as the covenant has been broken and He's putting Adam and Eve out of the garden for their protection so that they don't eat of that tree of life, and then being a perpetual state of death. He brought them out of the garden so there could be redemption, so He could buy them back. And He speaks of that when He says to the serpent, as he's casting the serpent out. Remember what He said? He said, when He spoke of the seed of the woman, remember the seed of the woman? Why can you just have a seed of the woman? He's talking about Jesus, who'd be born of a virgin. You're going to bite at His heel, but He's going to what? Crush your head. That's what Jesus did on the cross. God was planning. Book of Revelation says, from the foundation of the world, He was planning. He was planning to buy us back. There's a battle. Then once we come to Jesus, to maintain a regular relationship with Him. The devil is battling against us. The world is battling against us. And what does he say here in this passage that we read about? And sin is battling against us. So what is sin? Sin's anything that gets in between us and God. Here's the best way I know to describe it. Here's what sin does between me and God. It becomes a blockade. Now, some say that when a person comes to Jesus, they don't struggle with sin anymore. Can I get a witness on that? No? No? In fact, others say, you know, when I came to Jesus, it was almost like I got a target painted on me. And like in the Top Gun movie, I've got tune. Bing, you're gone. In verse 8 of chapter 1 in 1 John, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let me ask you, seriously, how many things are you deceiving yourself about? If I look in the mirror and I see a 25-year-old version of me, pounds lighter. Who is deceiving themselves? I ask you the question. That's not limited to 61-year-old men. A 14-year-old boy can deceive himself. The issue at hand. Are you battling with sin in your life? Anything that gets in between you and God, it's sin. What is it? The hardest thing in the world for a Christian to do is to take a good look at himself along with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shines the light and says, okay, dust, let's take a look at you. Let's see all the blemishes. What's standing between me and you? Sin's a blockade to our relationship. What sin do you struggle with? And don't tell me you're not struggling with anything. He's already made the blanket statement about that. If you say that, you're a liar. That's right. You're a liar. The truth's not in you. What sin are you struggling with? What stands in between you and God? What stands in between a church and God? What stands in between a nation and God? It's easy to think about other people or the larger group, but man, it gets mighty personal when I have to start thinking about me. The old spiritual, it said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You see, the very source of renewal and revival for our country, for us, is right here. I have the power to affect that change. Will I do it? Do I want to be pleasing to God? Or do I want to walk around behind this cloak. And maybe we become comfortable when everyone else around us is walking around behind that veil. Now, what does he call on us to do? We need to confess our sin. What does confession mean? It's not a complicated thing. It's just calling it the same thing God calls it. What is the sin in your life? Do you struggle with lust? Do you struggle with greed? Anger? I mean, we can go down the list. I could give you a shopping list right now, but I think the Holy Spirit can do a better job than me. Or is your sin just apathy? And my response to that is, I don't know and I don't care. Call it the same that God calls it. Say it's sin. So he can bring his forgiveness for that sin. Now yes, when you got saved, your sins were forgiven, past, present, and future. Does that give you a license to go and sin? What did Paul have to say about that? He said, the Greek says, megenata. I love that. It just sounds great. Megenata. And what it means is, may it never be. That's his answer. That's the Holy Spirit's answer to that question. May it never be. May that never be. May we never think that his forgiveness, that his grace in our lives gives us a license. It's like the doting father that is just giving you things in your life, and the more he gives, the more you just take and take and take. And you have a disdain for him. It's not what we're talking about. We're talking about him forgiving us and us applying that forgiveness in our daily lives. The fancy word for that is sanctification. As he makes us holy, as he chisels off everything about our lives so we can be conformed to the image of Christ, so we can look like Jesus. He says we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He's right, and he wants to bring joy in your life. And that joy comes from being part of his plan. That joy that'll last through no matter what. To have his forgiveness. To have a clean heart before him. To really experience his love in your life. So, if we have that kind of relationship with him, what's the fruit that it's going to produce in our life? What's going to be the evidence that we have that? He says it very clearly in that passage. He says, we're going to keep his commandments. We're going to keep his word. Now, let me ask you a question. How can you keep this if you don't know it? You say, well, I can't know everything about the Bible. It's time to get started. Our little car, when Audrey drives, a light came on it. She comes to me, the expert on the car, and says, what does that light mean? It's got these little squiggly lines on it. And I made up something. I said, that's what it means. You know what I had to do? There's a manual that thick. It's in three languages. It's right there in the glove compartment. All I had to do was look at the little area and said, lights. And there it had, and it was car mechanics for dummies. There it had a little picture. And beside the picture it said, this means your tire's low on air. Einstein. Of course, I put that in there. You see? You get started. You get started by reading the man. What is he saying to you about your life? The feelings you're having, the things that are going on with you. I guarantee you, it's addressed in this book. What is right and wrong? It's addressed in this book. But you got to get busy. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. He also says you're going to have love in your heart. Because if you don't have love in your heart, he says, you don't belong to him. There must be love in your heart. That's evidence that Jesus is in residence. And finally, he says, in that last verse, that our walk is going to match our talk. And our talk is going to match Jesus and his walk and his talk. How about that? Do you look like Jesus? Does your life look like Jesus? He wants to get you ready for life. You want a full, rich, meaningful life? Young people, you want to find the person of your dreams? You want that you're going to marry? You want to have the right job? You want to be in the place where God wants you to be? Maybe you're at the other end of the spectrum wondering, what does God want to do with the rest of my life? I'm telling you, He will speak that to you, but He is not going to be able to get through this until you drop it. Occasionally, he'll get a 2x4 and hit you through that, but get your attention. Wake up. It's time. He loves you. He wants a relationship for the rest of your life, however long that is. I said to some people, very dear to me, several people, in the last few weeks, people in my family that are older than me, I said to them, I want to see you finish well. How many more years have you got? Months, days? What does God want to do with you? It starts by taking a good look. And let's clear up the communication line and open the way so He can speak to us. And that means addressing the sin in your life. I can't flower it up because that's what the Word says. What will you do? I pray today that we, and let me tell you, I don't preach this to y'all. As my cousin said about a situation that was happening years ago, he said, man, he's busting your chops. That's exactly what I feel like right now. God wants to get our attention. Will we listen? He wants the best for you and for me. He wants the best for our church and their people. They're depending on us. Let me ask you this question. When's the last time you were investing in somebody else that didn't have a direct bearing on something that would benefit you. Where? Someone that you know needs the Lord. Man, when we have the blockade up, we can't even begin to think about stuff like that because all we're thinking about is ourselves. Have this mind in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. What mind do you have today? I have. Don't go out of here saying, oh, yeah, that preacher's so negative. I'm telling you, there's joy that comes in the morning. The joy of the Lord. Let's pray. Now, Lord, we know you've spoken to us today. We know you're speaking right now. We pray, God, may we respond in faith. The altar's open. God's spoken to you. You come. This is your time with the Lord. I hope I've given you something to think about today. I hope you'll consider what we've shared with you today as you go from this place. And I'd like to hear from you. I'd like to have some back and forth over these scriptures and over what the Lord is speaking to you. We're on mission. God has called us for such a time as this. But listen to me. Listen to me. We're not ready. We're not. We're not ready for the mission. We've got to be honest with God. And it starts right here. Not out here. Not over there. Well, if so-and-so would do this. The minute that falls out of our mouths, what's turned off? Every kind of openness to the Lord. It starts here. I'm saying that to you today. Has there been a time where you were closer to the Lord than you are now? What happened? Where are you with Him today? He loves you. He loves me. And Lord knows, I try His patience. I know. Thank God His love shines through. Would you like to get those cards from you? If you have an offering to bring, we'd like to get that from you also today. And we'll pause just a moment and let you bring that this time. It's so good to see you here today. Hope you will take that that prayer outline and use it this week. I pray you'll let the Holy Spirit continue to ruminate this message. You know, everything that wasn't of the Lord today, let it drop to the ground. But everything God said today to you, may you listen. Listen to that. 4 weeks from today, we're going to host a friend day here and be your opportunity to invite some people. Let me tell you who we don't want you to invite. People that are actively involved in other churches. They don't need to leave their church to come over here and eat with you. It's not what this is about. This is about the 70% of Savannah that's not involved in anybody's church and no plans to be. Let's invite them. You got plenty of those people in your life if you'll just look. Let them come. We'll present a message that will present the gospel of Jesus to them. On that Sunday, it'll be clear, plain, so we look forward to that. 4 weeks from today, okay? All right. God bless you. I send you out in the name of our Father God, in the power of the Holy Spirit, with the love of Jesus. Go forth. Be like it. Amen.